Blog Talk Radio.
The following is intended for all audiences, so tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your ones, tell everybody. You're listening to Cocooning from the Microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces, the one, the only, accept no substitutions. By the way, check out Maya Harrison. She's a musician, you might have heard her online. She's got her own website where she's selling everything. In a weird way, everything except music. Oh, she's still selling concerts, but nobody sells music anymore, dude. That's free. You know, listen to her free music anyway. Give her some notice and publicity. Honestly. Get involved with the cause. We're at 515-605-9709. It's 515-605-9709. It is 11 o'clock here on the program. Cocooning from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. The one, the only, accept no substitutions. All right. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. I have been picked up from my home in McKinleyville, California. It was basically Organic OK who took me under his wing and invited me to go along on his world tour to help the homeless. Or he said, no, that's too generic. Heal the homeless. I know it sounds kind of pretentious, don't it? But it's true. That's what we were doing. We weren't just giving them a handout. He used to say, the problem with welfare is it teaches people in a way how to be helpless. Everybody needs a helping hand. Everyone needs some degree of welfare at some point. But the key is not to do it in a way so that basically they're always dependent. They're sitting back and just expecting to get paid, just being expected to give everything. Organic OK told me, sometimes one of the biggest problem, there's too many people out there who are just taking care of too much of their whole lives, and they have no ability and know-how to take care of themselves. That's a real thing. I don't know. Anywho, the whole point was to help these people. These people need help, but give them a helping hand, not a handout. Because once again, that can make you helpless. He used to tell me, it was kind of like, at some point, everybody has had a twisted ankle or a broken leg. So you see those guys with crutches and whatever. Now, basically, too often in life, people use crutches. Why? And I told him, it's because their legs are broken or twisted. They have trouble walking. I mean, it's a crutch. A war vet on the street is, missing a leg. He needs a crutch. He's not going to be able to walk. Sometimes he can't afford a prosthetic or whatever. So I said, get rid of your prosthetic leg, buddy. How far do you think he's going to get around with one leg? He said, no. See, that's the thing. Some people need prosthetics, too, but crutches are something you need for a while. At some point, you need to basically, you got to stop needing the crutch too much or your leg is never going to heal all the way. I wanted to argue, some people need crutches for the rest of their, but I realize I'm looking at the metaphor too literally. The point is simple here. Too many people here expect to be taken care of. Something needs to be done. He took me on a trip. We went all over there helping the homeless. I fell in love in a way a few times, in a way. It had my heart broken a few times. It's one of those war backdrop kind of romances where war has kind of brought us together, but it's also tearing us apart. We need to love each other, make love passionately, but soon it won't last. We'll have to die in each other's arms or something like that. Things like that never last. So much of our Hollywood movies and fantasy relies on telling us a romance where it does last. All we have is each other. Things like that are a flash in the pan, but they're fun to have. It'd be fun to have more of them than just, but once in a while you want somebody who's there. I don't know. I thought about some of the women I met on this trip. And as you watch our previous episodes, whatever, guess what? We had something. But could I just invite them along? Somehow it wouldn't be the same. somehow when a relationship starts out like that, it's just meant to be a flash in the pan. They're meant to fizzle. I basically spent a lot of my time thinking about what was going to happen next. I mean, in a way, I was a little... I'm not going to pretend I was the perfect gentleman. This guy was taking care of me. I was going on his trip. We were doing all this whatever. Well, not just whatever. We were helping the homeless. I got to say, it wasn't smooth sailing everywhere we went. Because once again, the more money you have, the more means. And even if you're a person with enough money to have a roof and four walls around you and a job and whatever, you know something? They don't necessarily listen to everything you have to say. Your opinions and wants and whims and your, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Your needs aren't always going to be met. That's about those guys who basically were rich. They didn't just have a lot of money to be able to buy anything they wanted. To basically have a business that's basically creating jobs and whatever, government loves them. The other thing, keeping society going. I don't know what to do. Organic said he had money. Even this day, I've told people about this. I said, what proof do you have? You actually seen his mansion or whatever? I got to tell you, dude, he's financing his whole trip. I mean, none of us were working. We're like an employee, whatever, but we're being taken in his car to and fro, you know, all over the country. Obviously, he had some kind of cash. But I wasn't supposed to tell anybody about that. I thought they might listen to him if they find that he's a guy with a lot of means and money. But then it occurred to me, dude, when the ordinary average person, when somebody without money finds out that you've got it, they expect you to give them money. Yeah, I know, but that's how it is. They come to you looking for a handout. They cry to you about how they got nothing. They promise they pay it back, but they ain't going to. You know what they're thinking to themselves? Oh, he's rich. What does he need it for and whatever? And if you try to tell them no, you're an SOB. I don't know. I guess that's what happens when some people have everything, a few, and everybody else has got nothing and has less and less every day. Something's got to be done. What to do, what to do, what to do, what to do. I'll tell you one thing. I couldn't take much more of this. What can I say? I want to shake things up in a way. I mean, I like to believe that a few places will be made a difference because I went to the right people. But we're just in that town for a little while trying to light a fire under these people, telling them personally to stand up and take arms and fight back about the fact that you're homeless and handicapped and whatever. I got to tell you one thing. Let me tell you more than one thing. Guess what? They're already pretty much on the street. If that's not enough to light a fire under them, what am I saying? There are so many people in the world that there's bound to be an overlap. There's just too many. A lot of people are going to be cast adrift no matter what. I think the overpopulation is why there's basically been a high mortality rate of everybody now. I know a person dies every 10 seconds. Nowadays, more than one. But you know what? A lot more people were dying than dying ever since they started throwing people on the streets. Something has to be done. But what? I helped. Was it making enough of a difference? because there's only so much I can do, so much we can do. And once again, not everybody was going. I think it was great that he gave me a moniker, you know, like a street name. It's like, I'm not going to tell you my real name, folks, but that was my slave name in a way. It's like basically people, they give themselves a street handle, whatever. He gave me a moniker because I should remain anonymous. And that's one thing. But I told you, he gave me the name DJ Butterfly Feces because I talked and moved like a DJ. I used to have a radio show. And I wasn't a DJ on that show. That's the irony. I was an editorial guy talking about what's wrong with the world and whatever and how we can fix it. The voice of reason. But do you know what? No, not chicken butt. Somehow, people don't listen to you as much when you're not on the air and whatever. When you're on the street, trying to light a fire, people don't listen as much. But more than that, here's the gag. They're not going to listen to you when you're not a person on the street. And they especially wouldn't listen to me if they knew I wasn't really on the street like them, but traveling on the road. A drifter with a plan. The truth is, what is the truth? I don't know. I can't get everybody to listen. I know you can't please everybody no matter what. Some people, they were thrown on that street and they just said, I give up. I'm here. I surrender. I'm tired of trying. Some people I know jumped on the street because they got tired of walking the line every day. Get up, go to work, fight to keep that job, fight to pay those bills. Your rewards, you get to get up and do it again. And there's no security. They wanted to go out on the street and just expire. I heard people. But here's the thing. Why would they listen to me? I wasn't really living there like they were. Somebody else was taking care of me. I was riding his whatever. And these people were on the street. The system didn't like it wanted to save them. I don't know. And somehow, they don't listen to you as much when you have a voice like DJ Butterfly Feces. I wish more people listened to my radio show. I wish. I wish. They didn't. What to say, what to do. I had a handle like DJ Butterfly Feces. I told you basically what Organic OK basically talked about. He said he got to keep changing his name because everybody's going organic now. It's hard to make that stand out in a lot of ways. But understand something. A name like DJ Butterfly Feces. It's not necessarily a name you can trust. Whatever. As we're on the road, I was thinking about everything. And we finally made our next stop. It's 15 minutes after the hour here, 11:15 here on the Cocooning from the Microphone program. Call in, get involved. We're at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. That's right, you got to dial a 1 first. There's some weird rule. For why not to dial the 1? Because the 1 is sort of, well, it's, how do I put this? It's just a given. It's redundant. That's why, despite the fact you might be 45, you might be old and have gray hairs, but still they card you if you try to buy beer or cigarettes. We're living at a time when they're about a step away from basically just burning serial numbers into us. We're all slaves. Anywho, what happened was we made our stop in the Bronx, New York. It was a long trip to get from there to here, the Bronx, but there we were. Organic told me, dude, you better be careful. Listen, Feces, you got to be careful here, okay? Because in the hood, they don't know you. They're basically going to be especially suspicious. I kind of knew what he meant. In a town like ours in McKinleyville, if they don't know you, you're not from the neighborhood. They're not going to really, they got to care so much. Because here's the thing. The nice of the neighbor, in nice neighborhoods, if you're just passing through, you mind your own business personally, whatever. But in bad neighborhoods, the more poor people are, the less they have, the more they tend to be protective of their nothing. They don't recognize you. They're going to look backward and sideways trying to show they're bad. It's like in suburbs, dude. All the dogs, they're always trying to jump up and play with you and sniff you and be your friend. In the hood, every single dog is a mad dog who barks and barks ready to tear the fence down to kill you if you're so much as a block away. The Bronx. Everybody was broke here. There was little difference between the homeless and those that were still homed. What to do? I went around there. Once again, introduced myself. My name is DJ Butterfly Feces. And somehow, some of them put their fists up at me. We bumped fists, and you know what? In a place like this, having a name like that wasn't so bad. I asked their stories. Tell you my story if you tell me yours. I told them how we'd gone all over. I told them about the lives I'd seen and saved and personally and whatever. Some asked me, what are you doing here? What was I doing? In the Bronx. I didn't want to tell them. Because you know what? No, not chicken butt. How do I tell them I'm not from the neighborhood? I came around here to do some charity work. I didn't know how that would sound. I wish Organic had given me more to say. I wish we could have traveled together. If we tried to get us more of a team, that'd be something cool. You know, but somehow just me out there and whatever. I told them that basically, I'm going to be here. You know what? We can clean up the streets so we can have a nicer place to stay. I suggested picking up a little bit of garbage or whatever. One of them went, tss. I didn't even ask why he said that because I remember I'd heard this before. Pick up the streets, even in their own neighborhood. Why? I got some news flash for you. Guess what? These people were basically hardworking people who worked hard and did right and whatever, and they were thrown out of their homes on the streets like so much garbage. That's what the system did to them, and now what? They're going to clean up? They're going to help? One of them said, dude, when the city basically starts agreeing to pay me money to pick this place, but I'll have to get my own, you know, house, well, then we'll talk. I told them about some of the stuff I'd seen on the streets, the people I'd met. They asked me, how'd you get around like that? I tried to explain it. Me and this guy were drifters. We've been drifting. I wondered how they're going to basically take a visitor, somebody foreign. They seem to be okay with it. guess we were all in the streets. As we're sitting back sharing our stories, I was telling everybody my struggles, what I did and whatever. Before I knew it, one person, a random somebody came out of nowhere, somebody from a passing car whipped a beer bottle at us. He just missed us. But still, some of that, it wasn't just like broken glass. It was more like the sand. You know how they make glass? They melt sand. A little bit of that stuff was so shit, whatever. I could feel that white kind of glass sand brush up against me. It was a hell of a thing. How did I feel? I wondered what I was doing there. I wondered, how do we get to the point where basically some of us are basically attacking homeless people to amuse ourselves, get our rocks off? You think it's funny, man? They throw in something at a group of homeless people. It's been said we're only a few dollars away, one missed bill, one slipper, one thing from the street. You know what? People in a town like this in the Bronx are very, 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 very close to the street already. I don't know what to do. I thought about going around picking up some garbage, and I thought about basically, you know, maybe getting some of the guys from our little traveling circus. That's what I called the convoy of all of us who are driving around going to and fro. We could pick up the garbage, yes, whatever. But how do I convince them to do the same? How do I convince them to do something for the greater good? How do I convince them? I'll convince them anything. We're trying to help these people. But at the same time, you know, to be part of the whatever again, you know what's going to need to happen? They're going to have to want to give back. They're going to have to want to give back. And they're going to have to get something in return. And I got to tell you something. This is the truth. Ain't nobody wants to help. There could be some loyalty in the hood, but there's not always. This is especially a place where if you're an outsider, if you dress a little too nice or not right, you're going to get jumped. It's one thing when you yourself don't have any money, but when nobody in the community has any money, it shows. Especially bitter about it. I wanted to get everybody to unite, to team up. You know? I know. But will they give these guys a chance? We're in the Bronx. I started telling them my stories and talking about how to really unite everybody together. If everyone's united, they got a chance. I know they were mad at the system. There were some who said they really wanted to get back on the street, but some just said, what would I do then? One of them told me a story. He said, dude, I was taking tickets. I was a ticket agent with the underground train, the transit, whatever. There was some immigrant who won't do it for less. Less! I lost my job. It wasn't so easy to go out there and get another one. It's getting worse all the time. I nodded. Couldn't apply for welfare, food stamps. Here I am. You know what? I'm probably going to die on this street. And the city's going to have to pay to get my cold body off this cold, hard slab tag. And you know what? They're going to have to pay to bury me somewhere. That's how I'm going to spite them. A lot of them seem to have the same plan. This is a terrifying thought. What happened here? Isn't this a real thing? I don't know. Truth is, I didn't know how to basically save everybody. And before you say, once again, you can't save everybody more than you can try to please everybody, how do I save the majority? Often people say everybody, they mean the majority. How do I get the majority of people saved? How do I save people here? As I basically spent the night with them, and then I decided to go off, I didn't want them to feel basically... I told them I was going to go off to see the rest of my entourage. Now, here's the thing. I don't want to feel like I was rude or anything, but once again, we didn't really know each other. And even people on the streets are like people in any community. You know, when you're in a community, your neighbors might steal your stuff. That's especially the case here. I don't want to judge anybody. No matter what city you're in, people can rob and steal. And you know what? These were not people I knew. I walked away. I looked around at a lot of the trash, how trashy everything was. I wanted to basically, I know the less money basically the community has, the more dirty and degenerative it's going to look. I wondered if maybe that was basically the government was trying to basically give people incentive to do something about it. Maybe. I had finally... literally gotten to basically back to the convoy, the entourage, the, as I put it, traveling troupe, the circus. That's what I called Organic OK's Winnebago and the other cars we were traveling around in. I told them everything. I said, they don't want to help. I've had this problem before. What problem? Look, they're on the streets and they can't really do very much. They can't. How can they? What are they going to do? And I'm sure they've tried everything. They've had time to think about how to get off, how to make this thing better or whatever, but sometimes the worse environments you can get into, the less people want, don't let that bother you, okay? Pick up some garbage and try to convince them to work together as a team. Team. Stayed up thinking about that. Thought about everything I did everywhere else. Should I go to another news affiliate, another television station, try to convince them to basically have a help the homeless community. In a place like the Bronx, they didn't have means like that. Nah. Come on. Let's be honest. They didn't. What was I going to say? What was I going to do? What? What was I supposed to do? I crawled in the Winnebago and went to sleep. I know. I tried to sleep with the other... I spent a lot of time with the other vagrants in Hawaii. And... no. You know, mostly because we couldn't bring the van over there. Couldn't cross the ocean or whatever in other places. But somehow, not here. Not the Bronx. I didn't want to feel bigoted. Once again, they didn't entirely welcome me with open arms. They're very suspicious when they don't know you from the community. It's 30 minutes after the half. It's 30 minutes after the hour here. It's 11:30 here on the program. Cocooning from the microphone. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Call in. Get involved. Check out Maya Harrison. She's out there making magic. And the show is brought to you by the one and only Organic OK, who's still going around doing all this. Hell, I don't know. I went to bed, tried to go to sleep. Forget. I don't know. What to do, what to do, what to do, what to do. Another case of insomnia. I could not go to sleep. I couldn't stop thinking about, you know. Couldn't stop thinking about that. Thought about how bad things are around here. I'll help and I'll pick up the garbage. But you know, and the place is so clean, they may think, hey, you know what? Let's just make more garbage. Somebody else will clean it up. We're supposed to do a service for these people. We're supposed to inspire them to help themselves and each other. And they seem to be doing that about as much as they wanted to. They gotta want to. Tomorrow I'll focus on making them want to, more than even picking up garbage. I literally went to each one of them, and I told them how I got the name, what DJ Butterfly Feces. I told them about, everybody knows how the caterpillar goes into the cocoon to emerge the butterfly. The metaphor for life is in there. When it sprinkles those droppings, and all sentient beings do waste in some point, you know what? That fecal matter becomes fertilizer, and things grow from it. So you're flying bug crap. There's a butterfly, and you're the crap that lands from it, Wolfram said to me. I realized he had a point. I did not pick this name for myself. But I told him to sit down, and I told him, I'm still going to pick up a lot of the garbage around here. It's kind of what I came down here for. But I'm worried that basically everyone will see there'll be more garbage. Like, would you guys basically make a habit? Pick up? I said, no, why bother? Here's another thing. One told me, you know, when there's garbage around, people tend to leave it alone. Place is so clean, there'll be traffic around. They won't leave us be. I don't know. What? I don't know. I don't know. How could I convince them? I told them our plan, and I told them what we were in the world for. I told them about the cockroach. There was a species that has been around before the dinosaurs, and has been around long after, because even during the Ice Age, probably, because here's the thing. That creature is just designed to adapt to any environment, to eat anything, live how they work together as a team, whatever. People are more like the cockroach. They all look to try to, but we're just not cockroaches. We can't fly. We can't climb in the cracks, live under the surface. We can't eat anything. I don't know. I told them one of the best things they do is work together, like all hives, colonies, whatever. One of them said, these words are very pretty. What are you going to do? You're not out here with us. You come out here for a few hours a day and go in there and you pick up some trash, but what are you really doing? I don't know. And the truth was, I really didn't. Hell, I didn't know. I went up and down and I picked up some garbage. I convinced you I'll do the same. And I said, we need to work together as a team. A team. I thought about everything. Everything. I don't know. Thought about stuff. Thought about all the things. And I asked, what's your reason to keep going? A lot of them mentioned they had family somewhere miles from here. They didn't even know where they were at this point. I remember what I did in one town personally and tried to get them back in touch with their family. Maybe they could take care of them. Maybe they could do something with them. Maybe. I remember trying to think about how we could all get together. Maybe if you guys could pull the resources and just live in one communal something or other. But even apartments now, they got a rule about how many people can be on the lease. They seem to have laws against basically taking in boarders and what. Never, I realized that needs to change. Maybe I could find a way. Maybe we could find a way to get all that repealed. We could all be that. What was the point? So you guys can all live together. You can live together in clusters. Several roommates. It's definitely something needs to go. This homeless problem, something needs to be done about it. One of them said, something is being done about it, but it ain't enough being done about it. It was true. He said, you do something about it. You got the means. You work for somebody who's got the means, right? I mean, you're not actually out here on the street with us. Once again, it's true. I was on the road. We spent a little bit of time here on the street, but these people were actually on the street. Me, Organic OK, and the rest of our team, we were on that road. We kept on trucking from place to place. What to say, what to do? I don't know. Every single day I know is a struggle. And we often try to close our eyes and imagine a life that isn't a living hell on earth. You don't want to live in it, but sometimes you don't have a choice. A living hell on earth. Or literal death. Who are all these fantasies about what death is like? You know? Like to imagine that it's eternal reward or eternal punishment. Or maybe something in between. Maybe life just starts over as something else. But the sad thing is, I'll never forget what happened that day in Seattle when that woman died right there on the street. I just want to say that I saw the spirit leave the body and float towards the heavens. But the truth is, I didn't. I didn't see it go down below either. My point is, I got to be honest. I think that when you die, this is it. That's it. The lights go out. It's just gone. No conscious sentience. No memory. No nothing. When it's over, it's over. And I wish there was at least like a Make-A-Wish Foundation, so at least these people. That's what like if you know before these people get thrown on the street, they can have maybe just one wish that could be granted. Don't have to be a genie and get three, you know. Just grant them one favor before you throw them out on the street. It used to be a real punishment for refusing to go with the program. But things are bad all over now. Now what to do, what to do, what to do? What? I went around and basically tried to ask a few of them to what they want to do with their lives now. Before I did, I thought about basically asking Organic OK if maybe some of them could come with us. I figured he'd say yes, but the load was starting to get kind of full. Was he really going to want to take too much more cargo? It's like the ship is sinking. There's one lifeboat. It's starting to get full, dude. Send us straight to the bottom. And I'll I didn't know. Truth is, I didn't know what to think, to say. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. What to do? I asked them what their plans for the future. It was such an ordeal. Lost. I had been lost. When was I going to be found? How was I going to save these people? It's your organic okay letter found me. He found me. He said he rescued me, but how can I rescue them? Just inviting more and more people to join him on this trip? Okay, maybe we got a few people off the street. What happens when this expedition ends at one point? What are they going to do with their lives then? I mean, organic okay may have lots of disposable income. Apparently, he's well off. He's making some nice bread, because he is apparently the 1%. But am I really going to expect him to basically breastfeed them the rest of his life? You know, there are basically people who have all, the have-alls, the have-everythings. They have enough money to take care of maybe 30 or 40, you know what, an infinite number of people for the rest of their lives. Let them all live financially worry-free, have no problem whatsoever. They can afford it. But are they going to want to? He might not have that much money. And you know what else? Maybe he wouldn't want to. Like he said, we're supposed to help these people, not enable them. But how do we make life out here, basically? What to do? 45 minutes after the hour here on the program. It's 11:45 here on the Cocoon and from the Microphone program. Here you are listening to DJ Butterfly Feces. Call, I'm here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. The truth is, I went up and down, up and down, and up and down, and at one point, you know what? Guess what? I don't know what to do. When daybreak came, I brought everybody, we all basically, I went over to the park, the local park, and I encourage others to do the same. Kids were still in school. Thought we could find a nice ball. I picked up a ball that someone left nearby. Someone left it, and I found out why. It was kind of flat. Not totally sunk, but believe me, it was getting there. And we all dribbled and shot hoops. We played. It was a hell of a thing. My brothers and sisters, my true friends. It was real. It was authentic. What to do? I'll tell you what to do. We basically shot hoops there. Whatever. What was messed up was the fact that just as we were getting into the spirit, we were shooting or whatever. One of them actually started to say, no, I can't. What's the matter? You can't keep it? No, brother, you got somebody to basically feed you. This guy's helping take care of you, right? On this, yeah, I don't have someone like that. You know, I don't have money. See, that's the thing about, that's why I don't exercise much, dude. You need food. Besides, one more thing you need food for, you know? Can't afford to work up an appetite. One of them said, yeah, that's a good point. Let me see. I didn't want to leave them and abandon them. I should be play for a little while longer. And before I knew it, there were some others from the park who wanted to play us, take us all on. We all shot hoops. We all dribbled up and down. We all did for most of the day. I encouraged them to talk to these people who I could tell were not homeless themselves, but were regulars. I encouraged them to talk. I encouraged them to shoot. I encouraged them to something. I encouraged it. And you know what? They made some friends. I wanted to know in some way you can make it so they help the homeless. I got any money. No, I'm not talking about a handout. Could you basically make it so there's some kind of program, make it legal for people like that to live in? They say, I guess not every single place has those, those rules that say you only have a certain amount of people living in an apartment. Too many in the lease, but they did. I've seen weird things in the Bronx. At one point for dinner, me and Organic went to a fried chicken restaurant. And I actually saw people in there sleeping at the tables. I did that when I was a little kid. I didn't think they allowed that for adults. I didn't know why. I guess because if you do it, they're afraid everyone's going to make it into a habit. Everybody needs a place to sleep, and everyone's going to say, can we crash here, whatever. But things are so bad all over, people were doing that. After we'd eaten our dinner, that's how bad things are all over. The rich are getting rich. Middle class are getting poor. The poor are getting really, really poor, and the really, really poor are getting dead. Something had to be done. He said, white people are too angry. They complain they're losing everything. They're not losing anything. You tell me something, said Organic. Okay. He said, if white people are losing, who's gaining everything? Ain't the black man. I try to explain to him. Organic, you need to understand something. You need to understand this. Those are other white people. And you seem to think that basically if few white people are rich, then all white people are rich. Whitey was never really, most people were not really rich, dude. They were just doing a little bit better while they were going day to day. But now they're broke. They are losing everything. Somebody else is getting, and it ain't about somebody getting somebody who's white. It's about getting to somebody who knows how to be rich.
Yeah.
Look around. Maybe this wouldn't be such a bad place to be homeless in. The town seems to be a little bit more forgiving. They let them sleep. Look, they're sleeping in this, people sleeping in this restaurant. That's right, sleeping in the restaurant. They're sleeping on that park bench out there. They even let them kind of crash a little bit at the mall. You know why? Because they know things are bad all over. They're trying to help the community. I didn't know what to say. I was blown away. That's the problem. I've always wanted to see the world. I wanted to travel. But one of the problems with cultural differences is you're never quite sure. We got the internet now so we can check, but you're not entirely sure what they're going to be. There are places where they're going to welcome visitors, somebody from out of town, but more often than not, people are going to get scared and say, I don't know this person. What works in one town doesn't necessarily work in the others. People profile you, sometimes no matter who you are, no matter where you go. Some places it's okay, some places it's not. It wasn't time to adapt. We were just on the road, and then, bam, he drops us off here. I didn't know. My whole talk was to talk to the homeless people and help them. Talk to them. Talk to them. But not just talk to them, try to get them to help each other and themselves. In a way, I thought I did. I encouraged them every single day to go to that park, hang out a bit. Homeless will be part of the community. Listen, I don't know how to put this, but at one point, this part really got messed up. We were shooting at the park there at one point, even though people sleep in there, and sure enough, some cop came to harass us. Those Iranian people are pissed off at cops. It's true. 9 times out of 10, they're not there when you need them, and they do act like school yearbooks. They take liberty and license with you because they know they can. And as I was shooting, as we were all, you know, minding our own business or whatever, they went to harass us. Because we weren't basically taxpayers anymore, and they felt this park was only for taxpayers. In the Bronx, I guess not everybody was so, you know. I pleaded my case. We had a right to be here. We're members of the community. We hadn't hurt anybody. But nope, they threatened us. They told us to get out of here right now. That we didn't belong here. They kind of want to punish you, basically, for being broke, because it's like they want to make sure you don't get too comfortable being this way. They want to make some money off you. If not, die. No regret at doing picking up anything for them. As we went back to our spot, I told them to do something about that. Next day, later on, I went back to that park. And as somebody tried to hassle me again, I talked to some of the regulars, and they said, no, it's cool, he's with us. That fat skank, that park, whatever she was, backed down, backed off. That's right. Yeah. Little victories count for a lot. You know you made some kind of difference. And there's still a lot of work to be done. I felt like there was some answer out there that was missing, and I just didn't know what it was. What was it going to be? Who knows? I basically sit on the Winnebago again for the night, prepared to talk to Organic about everything we did. He smiled at me and said, you know what? You stood your ground. You see how the world kind of hates you, treats you a lot differently when you ain't got no money. I always resent the word treat. When you think treat, you think of an actual treat, ice cream, candy, whatever. I hate the phrase treat because when you treat badly, you're not treating somebody, you're abusing them. Some people do regard people like feces, something smelly and foul, someone's just taking up their time and they should be flushed out of their lives. Just worthless waste. I wanted to make a lot of money someday. But at the same time, I don't know. I wanted to make a lot of money. But the truth is, I always said to myself, what was I going to do then? Would I become one of them? When I make a lot of world, what then? Do I save it? Or do I become the evil? That's where I'd stop. I was going to ask Organic OK how he made his money. Maybe however he do it, more of us could join him and do the same. Not just ask for a hand, but that's the thing. Thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Organic OK's Cocooning from the Microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. It's midnight. Thank you for listening. Get involved in the cause and check out Meyerson. Tune in for our next installment next week. Thank you and good night.